Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over the service today. Pray that you would guide my lips. Pray that you would live through me and help us all to absorb your truth. God, I pray that you would increase and that each one of us would decrease. Pray that you would remove distractions and help each heart to be able to understand the thought process. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title that I put to the opening this morning is Humble Partnership with God, sort of as a subtitle, God's Spirit Lived Out in our Bodies. So I want to just start at the beginning here and try to give a framework to what I'm thinking. And I think God wants us to live our lives out of joy, not out of drudgery, and out of love and not out of the law. And I realize that I'm preaching to myself this morning, and hopefully you all can take application too. So I want to just say a word for those that at times are discouraged or are now or are critical, either of themselves or others, or are overwhelmed by the busyness of life or your own failures or whatever. The message is supposed to be encouraging. I don't want you to take it in a discouraging way. I want to shift away from thinking about what it is to live in the flesh and think about what it is to live in the Spirit, because I feel like it's really easy to get discouraged feeling like we see the flesh coming out of us. But I think if we can get a glimpse of the big picture of Christ living in us, the flesh will sort of fade. I think of the story of a banker that raised his child, and they never left him play with play money. They only gave him real money. And yeah, by the time they were grown, they didn't even need training to recognize counterfeit, because it just popped right out at them because they were so used to the real thing. So I want to preach the real thing, preach the Spirit this morning, and let the flesh sort of be by the side. And also to remember that God is in charge of the fruits or the results of our lives. If we're living in the Spirit, we don't need to make sure that it ends at something, because God is in charge. He's the one that says whether our lives are successful. So my hope and aim is to help each person live more relaxed in mind, to live at peace, that we would be more connected to each other, we would have one Spirit, and that God would be glorified as we serve the Lord. So I have a bunch of verses that I want to go through and just talk about who we are in Christ and how we have His Spirit in us. So first I want to go through some verses where God did amazing things in people that His Spirit dwelt in. So Genesis 41:38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? This is after Joseph explained Pharaoh's dream, and Pharaoh recognized that it was the Spirit of God in him, and that he would be the perfect guy for the job to help make the most out of the 7 years of plenty. Can the world find God's Spirit in us? Do they see that? Exodus 35, 31. back up to verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. So, I see here that God displayed his Spirit in somebody through a trade, through being able to do something, through having wisdom in working with silver and brass and gold. Exodus 35, 21. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all the service, and for the holy garments. So I see that God's Spirit stirred their hearts up so that they would be willing to give. The Spirit of God in us makes us willing to contribute. And then Judges 13 through 15 talk about Samson, and there's lots of different references of the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he did this, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he did that. Even though he had lots of failure in his life, when the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, he did great things. 1 Samuel 10, 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. This is Samuel talking to Saul when he anointed him king. Told him that he'll prophesy. And I think it's such a good picture of us. If the Spirit of God is living in us, we don't have any restrictions to our life. We can be turned into a different person. So yeah, that's the what God has done in other people through the Spirit. And the Bible's full of examples of God working in people. So God wants his Spirit to be in you. I have a bunch of different references here. Starting in Genesis 2:7, God breathed into them the breath of life and they became a living soul. That breath is the same as, it's the same word as spirit. So God wants our lives to be a coupling of his spirit and our body. And if we are committed to him, that's the way it is, even if it doesn't feel like it. Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The life that is in us is the Spirit. Romans 8, 14 as well. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I think it's really easy to get sidetracked by the caveats or the to let this chapter be discouraging to us if we question whether we might be connected to the Spirit or not. But if you read the chapter in the light of just claiming it as fact in your life, it's really amazing to see what God wants to do through each one of us. And verse 15, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 12. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God are knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We've received the Spirit, and yeah, that's God's desire for us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? I love that picture of us being a temple, that our body is just a house for God to dwell in. And I think the connection that it gives us to each other is really amazing, because if we're really relating to God when we're relating to each other, there's not much room for unchrist-like attitudes or words. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And I think if we say that Jesus is the Lord of our lives, then we obviously have the Spirit in us. Let's go to Galatians 4:1-6. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And, yeah, just thinking of this picture of the law and how easy it is to get caught up into trying to live the right way or do the right thing. And I think if we're crying out to God, if we're actually looking for him to live in our lives, it redeems us from the law. It makes us, we're no longer a child that needs a rule book to tell us the way things have to be, but we can let God work in us. And of course we're going to fulfill the law. We'll be, not that we won't make mistakes, we all do, but we'll be living by so much more than just making sure we cross the I's or dot the T's or dot the I's. So God wants our focus to be captivated by the Spirit. I have a few verses here. Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And I also, when I think of how closely connected we are to God, I guess I would just challenge you guys to think about what is the difference between us and an angel. Psalm 104, verse 4. Says, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. And the definition of angels is basically messenger. So if God is living in us and working through us, then we are his messengers. We are his angels, you could say. I believe there is another body of creation that are angels, in a spiritual sense, but God wants us to be his messengers. Psalm 143:10 says, well, let me just turn it there. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Proverbs 16:2 talks about every man being clean in his own eyes, but the Lord tries the spirits or weighs the spirits. And Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Romans 2:29 talks about being a real Jew. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Galatians 6:8 also has a reference to that being our focus. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God will be glorified through his Spirit being lived out in our lives. I really think that's the key to each one of our existence, is that God created us for his glory, and if we're yielded to his Spirit living through us, that's when he'll get the most glory. First Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And Galatians 5. Galatians 5:16-18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then it talks about the law, but we'll just jump over that and jump down to the Spirit. So verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So, yeah, I just want to challenge each one of us. Do we realize who we are? I guess to touch on the humble part, each one of us is nothing. We don't have anything to brag about in our own selves, because all that we are, we've been given, and we're just supposed to be a shell for God to dwell in. But God has chosen to partnership with us. He wants to live in us. And then, yeah, to consider, I guess also that God wants to live in us as a church, that as a body, we also fit that description of God's Spirit dwelling among us. So I want to ask some questions about how we view life, and I don't want us to overanalyze, because we can get ourselves into trouble, but just consider how God would have us to view life. Does God's Spirit define your life? Do you give others the benefit of the doubt that the Spirit is in their life or is their guide? I feel like it's really easy to become critical of others. Realize that if they love God, if they're called by His purpose, and He's their guide, who are we to speak against them? What about our view of our congregation? Is God's Spirit among us? And then what about other congregations or denominations? And what's our view of the church as a whole? Is God's Spirit leading the church as a whole? And in closing, I want to touch on those that haven't made that commitment. Many places in the Bible speaks of the Spirit and life interchangeably. If the Bible's true, if you believe the Bible's true, will you continue to rob God by rejecting the life of the Spirit offered through Jesus? Are you really going to try to prove God wrong by showing that selfish living is better than Spirit-filled living? Just want each one of you to consider. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you would take this message and apply it to our lives. Help us to love each other. Help us to see you working in each other's lives and to encourage each other. God, that we wouldn't be pushed into discouragement, but that we'd let you live through us, that we wouldn't be focused on living by the law, by making sure we don't do anything wrong, but God, that we would let your Spirit live through us, that we could do everything right. God, I pray that you'd be with the remainder of the service, that you would be glorified in Jesus' name.